to a new episode of The Brand Called You. Today we have a very, very interesting young lady who was a professional and has now become an entrepreneur. Tamanna Dhamija, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh, for having me here.
Thank you. Tamanna is the co-founder and mommy-in-chief of Baby Destination. She is the president and founder of Doctors For You. She's from Delhi University. She's from the Copenhagen Business School. She's worked for AIG, DSP BlackRock, and General Motors Asset Management. So Tamanna, tell me a little bit about your early career before you became an entrepreneur.
Sure. So I did my schooling all from Delhi. I was in a convent school until 10th, and then I did very well in my boards. Mm-hmm. So my mom put me in modern school.
Okay.
And then the next 2 years, I didn't study at all.
Good for you.
And I did okay in my 12th. Mm-hmm. And then for my undergrad, very few people know this, but I'd actually, I went to the US. I went to New Jersey Institute of Technology. Okay. My brother was in the US.
Yeah.
So he felt I should do technology. Mm-hmm. So that's why I went there. But then I dropped out. And very few people know this.
Okay.
And I came back.
Okay.
And I came back because my dad was diagnosed with high blood pressure.
Okay.
And then I just thought that my brother's there. Mm. And if I'm going to be there, then, you know, I'll probably never come back.
Mm.
So I picked up the phone. I canceled my admission without telling anyone.
Mm.
And I came back. And then the next few months were very hard because I had nowhere to go, no college.
Mm.
And I used to just not have anything to do. And then I applied. My mom just said that there's a course there, Bachelor's in Information Technology.
Mm-hmm.
It had some entrance exam.
Mm-hmm.
I applied and I went to Delhi University
okay.
for that. So I had a gap year.
Okay.
And post that, while I was in my fourth year, my dad told me that you should try and sit for CAT,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I wasn't 100% sure what
sure.
I want to do. And he said, just try sitting for those exams.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied for about 2 months
mm-hmm.
and got through
okay.
MDI. So
okay.
MDI is where I did my MBA.
Okay.
I majored in finance
mm-hmm.
and marketing.
Okay.
And that's actually where I went to Copenhagen Business School for an exchange.
Okay.
And while there, I interned with a nanotechnology company called
mm-hmm.
Nanon,
mm-hmm.
which was my first ever sort of internship.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a great stint
Wonderful.
There overall.
Wonderful. And then in the financial companies, which are
yes.
BlackRock. And
yes. So after MDI,
management.
I joined DSP Merrill Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my dream company.
Okay.
MDI was my dream institute.
Okay.
And DSP Merrill Lynch was my
Fantastic.
Dream company for some reason.
Fantastic.
So I was there for, and I was doing financial sales.
Mm-hmm.
Well, later when I moved to the US is when I also did my CFA. So
okay.
I'm a CFA charter holder.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you're back to all your exceptional academic qualifications.
No, no. I don't think any of them is exceptional. That's why I'm telling you the reality behind how each one happened.
Okay, fair enough. So tell me, Tamanna, you know, after a corporate career, why did you choose to become an entrepreneur?
So, you know, I wish I could say that I always knew I had to become an entrepreneur.
It wasn't a calling.
Yeah, I don't know if it wasn't a calling
mm-hmm.
in the traditional sense,
mm-hmm.
but I think I've always been like that,
okay.
like what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I've always worked towards it and done it. Doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter if someone's done it before or not. My why should be clear.
Okay.
Right? So, at GM, General Motors
mm-hmm.
Asset Management, where I was, after I moved to the US, I was there for about the remainder of my career,
okay.
which is 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
At GM, I was in a quant analytics role initially,
okay.
where I was basically building models
mm-hmm.
Using MATLAB, Excel, etc. for front office. And GM manages about 100 billion in investments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After 2 years of doing that, I just knew it that I have to become a portfolio manager.
Mm-hmm.
I have to manage money
mm-hmm.
with like no masters in the US, with just in the middle of just clearing one level of
mm-hmm.
CFA. I was like, I have to do this. I don't know how, but this is what I need to do.
Correct.
So I don't know if that's entrepreneurial, but
yeah.
I did not think, is it possible? Like
okay.
GM,
yeah.
as American as they can get, you know.
Right,
like,
right.
But I did that. I interviewed
mm.
and then within 3 months, I became a portfolio manager. I was
Amazing.
Managing like $200 million as a portfolio manager who's not ever been in investment operations,
okay.
who straight away jumped into
mm.
that. While I was a PM, I worked on my model myself,
mm.
right? So stayed up all nights. And that was like, I wanted to do it like no one else has ever done it. So when I look back, I feel like, you know, maybe just that thing is there, and maybe that's entrepreneurial. It's more the spirit rather than the actual act. The idea of baby destination came to me when I became a mother in 2014. And the biggest sort of realization was that the day your baby is born, you're also born. And it doesn't matter how many kids you've seen growing up around you. It doesn't matter if you're in New York or if you're in a village. It's the same feeling. Something's come out of you, which is like 19 inches tall. And and now figure out why they're crying.
Right.
Figure out why they wouldn't take a bottle. And not just figure it out. Do it kick-ass. Because everybody is there on you. So I just, then I questioned why. Like, why is that the case? And what I found out was that, you know, it's of course the biggest life event that happens. But then the other thing is that there's a lot of information available, but there's not that much support available or ways to figure out support. It's not like people don't want to support you, but maybe there are not enough platforms available for peer support, which is how the whole idea of Baby Destination started, that let's solve this discovery journey for a mother.
Agree.
It starts from information discovery, comes from, you know, doctors, family, but also peers. You may not have the opportunity to talk to 10 moms in person every single day.
Correct.
But in this time and age, there has to be a better way. I mean, there's a Reddit, there's a Quora, there's, you know, we can call
it. So you developed this as a community for where mothers could interact with one another.
So the idea was to build a, to solve for the discovery problem. That it shouldn't, you shouldn't be as clueless as you are. You should at least have those inputs and then you take your decision. So the idea was to build a content driven community platform and you know, eventually solve for those information, product and service related queries. When I looked, I was still in New York at that time, and when I started talking to friends and family back home, I realized the problem is even bigger in India. Why? Because the access to doctors and experts is very, very limited. Even if it is there, in metro cities, there is no protocols around things, right? Like you could give cow's milk to a one-month-old baby. It's bizarre, like, right? So I felt like if we have to do it, we have to do it in India. And if we have to do it anytime, it has to be now. Because I strongly felt that data will become very cheap. So access to internet will become cheap. At that time, there was no Jio. I was thinking all this in 2015.
Fantastic.
So that's how.
So, you know, when our children were born 35 years ago, the only ready reckoner used to be a Dr. Spock, who had written a Bible on parenting or bringing up small children. But now there's so much, and I'm so delighted you're doing amazing work. So tell me, you know, with such a large community of brands, do you have a lot of baby brands who are wanting to partner with you?
Yeah, so brands happened much later, right? And the idea was not, we didn't even know that we work with brands. We used to be honest, I didn't have 100% clarity into how we'll monetize. What I knew was we need to solve this problem. Like, let's do it somehow. Initially, I used to think we'll build an app and we'll build forums and communities there. And then within a few months, I realized that if somebody is spending time on their cell phone, especially moms, it's either on Facebook or WhatsApp. And then I realized the kind of dopamine, the effect that it causes for all of us and the virality that's built in. And I was like, we have to build this on Facebook and WhatsApp. And everyone was like, are you crazy? Like, you've moved all the way back to like build Facebook groups. And I said, yeah, because that's where moms are. That's where we can add value. Cannot expect them to come here where they're already worried about their child. Right? Come here to get information. So we started building our communities on Facebook and WhatsApp, which in itself was sort of unheard of. And once we started building communities, we realized that these conversations are a gold mine of information for anyone that wants to add value. So if there is a community or a group, I don't know, are you a part of any Facebook groups? Okay, so you know, right? So like a startup Facebook group, let's say. If you just go through those conversations, doesn't matter who, if, even if you take all the personal info, it's just like text. What you would be able to tell is what are the top five pain points? Funding or, you know, just scaling, whatever, right? what you would be able to then deep dive and say that, you know, why is scaling such a big pain
Correct.
Point, right?
Correct.
Because the business models are
yeah.
so different. There's mm-hmm. no cut, copy, paste everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely
and all that.
Right.
That's the kind of information we started, like we used to have basic Excel spreadsheets where we used to write that, okay, it's postpartum depression. What are the triggers into postpartum
Correct.
Depression?
Correct.
Right? And one insight was, for example, that not looking good triggers
yeah.
it,
yeah.
right? Extends
yeah.
it. So we started a community on mom's beauty.
Mm.
Right? Because at home, if you can just look good, it's your own self-confidence.
Mm. True.
So this was like, it was life-changing for me at least, right? I've always dealt with data, you know, in my life and finance. I'm a very curious person. But this was like, wow, all it needs is to have meaningful communities,
yeah.
to know pain points and then to solve them.
Amazing.
How are we solving
yeah.
them? By doing content,
yeah. Yeah.
right? So 10 ways to not sort of go through postpartum depression and all that. And then is as we started scaling, because it was a feedback loop into our community growth, I was very curious on how brands talk to their TG, right?
Okay.
Especially moms. Because all of us are trying to get our eyeballs everywhere we go,
very
whether
cool.
it's a hoarding, whether it's TV. And then I was like, why are they not trying to answer these questions in an unbiased way? And it's okay to say, I'm a brand and I do this, but why is that not happening?
Correct.
And to my surprise, when I started speaking to them, I realized that there's a lot of gaps. There's tremendous gaps in consumer research. We do it very primitively. Like, we'll go do surveys, we'll say we understand our consumers. You know, this one mom said this, let me just extrapolate
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely right.
And there is a tremendous gap in terms of ROI tracking also. I'll do an ad and I'll say, okay, it's reached 1 million people. Great, bingo. And then what happens? Was I able to solve the problem? You know, did the person come to next step? And that's what really said that, you know, this is a win-win. Because they need, moms need information, brands exist because there is a gap that they're solving. There's a value prop. If we were to do a Venn diagram, what is the intersection of those two? Let's solve that. And that's where we started doing some, you know, sort of giving brands limited access to communities through their admins in a very contextual manner, running advocacy programs. And we, like, I'm so proud when I feel that, you know, we've pioneered those.
Fantastic.
So
and this platform must be now what? Only in India, or are you beginning to go to other countries as well?
So there's one part of our journey which is not captured on my LinkedIn, you know how they say. That's so while we were doing this, our communities now are about 1.3 million moms and they are pain point based. They are informational communities, right? So baby care, breastfeeding, Hindi, they're across languages, they're across locations. While we did this, we realized how hard it is to grow, engage and monetize the communities, right? It is extremely difficult. Why? Because it's organic. So I cannot go and run a Google ad and get people to and then show a great metric. Hey, these are the number of members. They have to organically join, which means they should see my community somewhere in order to join, which means there's a Facebook algorithm that shows it to them. So there was a lot of figuring out, right? How do we keep the engagement going so that growth happens? And then how do we monetize, which means educating brands and all of that. I was fortunate enough that we got selected by Facebook as one of the top 100 global communities.
Wow.
It's the first time ever that Facebook has invested money in communities. So we got some funding, got a lot of mentorship, and most importantly, got the opportunity to interact with 99 other top global communities from across the world.
Amazing.
At their Menlo Park offices. Like twice we met there and once we had a regional meetup. And that was eye-opening because what I realized is that these are not just problems that we had or other Indian communities or groups have. Let's say a mom sitting here, right, wherever, in Gurgaon, in Mumbai, I've started a community. Some of us must be smart. We get some sponsorships and some of us don't know what to do with it, right? But then I realized it's not just an India phenomenon, it's a global phenomenon. And that to me was like, this needs to be done at a bigger level.
Correct.
Right? That these are community entrepreneurs. It was eye-opening. There were no social entrepreneurs until a few years back.
True.
There were no startups when I, like, you know, it was like,
So
these are community entrepreneurs. You know, from that one person is the content manager, you know, is keeping the group clean, is doing everything and putting all of... So I was like, let's scale this. Let's take this to the next level. We were already like we were super strong in analytics, of course, and we had tons of spreadsheets where we had automated things for ourselves. So we said, why not 1000x this impact? And we launched a platform called ConvoSite,
okay,
which we launched last year. And it's globally the first platform for community admins to help them grow, engage and monetize their communities also. And really the vision is to create tons of, like if someone asks me what I think, whatever entrepreneur I am, I'm a community entrepreneur. Correct. Whether it's cool or not cool doesn't matter. That's what it was, right?
Amazing. That's quite amazing.
So that's how we've...
So Tamara, let's move to the next part, which is Doctors For You.
Yeah.
You know, you're a founder of this as well. And tell me about this initiative.
So Doctors For You started in 2015. Mm. So me and my husband Tarun, we always wanted to do something for kids, right? There was a trigger event in our life where we felt that this is the area that we should focus on, which is congenital heart diseases. So what we do at Doctors For You is we help children who are born with any sort of a heart disease, right? Congenital, because they are born with it, undergo treatment. Now that treatment can be open heart surgery or just a non-open heart intervention, which impacts two things, mortality and morbidity, both, because quality is as important as the length of life. This is a very high impact area because if the treatment is done within a certain time frame, only then that impact can happen, right? So depending on the severity of the situation, it has to be done in a few days or a few weeks or a few months. And it, that one-time intervention is, that's it.
Okay.
It changes the life. So it's not like lifelong medication, whatever, in most cases. So this again, before starting it, we'd come to India. We did a lot of, we went to tier two cities. This was before baby destination. And, you know, we started it. We are a 501c3 approved nonprofit and also ADG approved.
Yeah.
And, you know, till date, we've helped about 325 children undergo surgeries. Yeah,
that's such an amazing thing.
Yeah, thank you.
So tell me, how do parents of children who have this challenge, how do they reach out to you?
Sure. So when we started, right, one of the biggest, again, when we looked at data, we saw that there's so many nonprofits in India. We didn't do it in US. Why? Because nobody gets denied medical treatment there. Even if you're homeless, you'll get treatment. Yeah. So in India, there's so many nonprofits. I think there are more nonprofits than doctors.
Correct.
So we shouldn't have this problem.
Yeah.
But the problem is transparency and how they operate. So we said the referral has to be also 100% authenticated.
Correct.
So we tied up with GB Panth Hospital because, you know, if you go to their OPD, which happens like on Fridays, you'll see hundreds of kids. They come in the morning, they sit out there. And I have sat through them and seen that how, because of lack of 40,000 rupees, they'll turn around and go. They just don't have the money, right? So we get referrals from GB Panth. We get referrals from Medanta also, because sometimes patients come there. A lot of open heart surgeries are happening in Medanta as well. So it's basically doctor referred patients. And then they fill it out. And like the idea was the whole process should be 100% transparent, right? Now, having said that, let's say you reached out that, you know, whoever, my domestic help or someone has, would you be able to help? Yes. We would still show them to the doctors at GB Panth because the prognosis is very important.
Correct.
If the chance is 2% and the doctor says, so we leave that decision to the doctor. Yes.
That's wonderful. So Tamara, let's move to a few questions for you personally. You know, you had an amazing corporate career, you're building an amazing community, you're doing so much work. Have there been any people who've had a strong influence on you? And if yes, what have you learned from them?
So yeah, I think my family, and starting with my grandma, I think she's the biggest influence on me. She's not around anymore, but I think whoever I am, like, it's because of her. And specifically, I think, you know, compassion, as we call it, it's really something that I have learned from her. I've seen her struggle and turn all adversities into advantages just by doing things for others. So that So she's one. My mom is a cancer survivor.
Wow.
She actually got diagnosed the year that I wanted to move here, 2015,
okay.
Right? And then as soon as we found out, of course, help broke loose.
And you came back because of your dad's blood pressure.
That was initially, but now they're back in New York. So now my whole family is in New York,
okay.
Right? So when I was in New York, I moved with them. I missed this part, but I moved to New York because I moved with them,
okay.
Right? So she was in New York when this all happened.
Right.
And then, of course, everything was put aside and me and my dad were her primary caretakers. And the day she graduated in US, they graduate you from cancer treatment. Next week, I was on a flight to India. So, but like really her resilience, she's the strongest human being ever.
Mm-hmm.
And her doctor, she got treated at Sloan Kettering, says that, you know, I want to, she used to go for chemotherapy with pearls.
Mm.
She's like, you know, I have to put you in a book.
Mm.
Because it's the spirit.
I know.
So that's that.
Know.
And my dad, because I think he's the kindest human being,
okay.
You know, and just the kind of compassion.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
so
wonderful. Amazing to have such good mentors, isn't it? Or something. People looking after you.
Exactly.
You know?
I think what you are professionally is a reflection of your values personally.
Correct. So my next question would be that, you know, what would be three words that define Tamanna?
Self-aware,
mm-hmm.
compassionate,
mm-hmm.
resilient.
Okay. Which is how you're building such an amazing business, you know? And
yeah. I mean, it's, and you know what is amazing? I think amazing is the impact you see day in, day out.
Correct.
You know, self-awareness is extremely important
mm-hmm.
because good and bad, you need to know it day in, day out,
mm-hmm.
right? What is my animating force in life?
Correct.
If I know that and I'm constantly working on making it better.
Mm-hmm.
And
amazing.
Yeah, so that's
amazing. So if I was to ask you, you know, you're building this community and, you know, you so easily said that I discovered this and I must do this. And then you said that we must make it 1,000x. What is the secret of all this thinking or success? What goes behind in your mind when you're thinking of all these things?
So I think I'm very committed to the cause. And people, like I'm super invested in people. So when I say cause, when we were building Baby Destination, or we are building Baby Destination, that cause is to help the mom get access to information. That's
correct.
It, period.
Correct.
Does not matter, it happens on an app, does not matter, it's in person, right? Does not. What I do always bear in mind is that it should be something which is scalable. It should not be dependent on one person. Like I'm not the face or influencer.
Correct.
Like that's not, because then it's restricted on me,
yeah.
Right? So when again started talking to brands, the cause was that help them maximize, you know, their impact in ROI, which is what they want, right? So channelize that. So I think that's, we're very, very obsessed. I don't know if that's the right word, with the cause, with whatever we are working. When it became Conversite, it's like, let's change the landscape, right? People should be talking about community entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing so much work.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take this, you know, sort of purpose on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one very, very big thing. And when I say being invested in people, end of the day, all of this is because we're doing something for people, right?
Correct.
And whether it's employees, whether it's, you know, people you look up to,
mm-hmm.
it's just, so all the decisions, that becomes a very important factor.
Okay.
And I would also say that resilience is, it's like never, never, never give up, you know. So that just, I don't think we should be blindsided, but that's super critical, because just keep marching forward.
Okay. So my next question would be, you know, you're doing a startup, you said 2015 you started.
2016.
And you're sitting in India and thousands of people are doing startups. For someone listening to us talk now, and there are thousands of people, young people who are listening like you, will be listening. What advice would you have to a young individual wanting to start their own business or enterprise?
So the one thing that I would say is that, you know why you're starting up. And it's okay to say, I have a fire in my belly. I just want to do something kick-ass no one's done. But just know that and accept it. It's okay. No one has it all figured out, right? But just that reason should be clear. Even if it is to build a X million or billion dollar company, know that and put it down, right? Be true to yourself. Do not lie to that point. And I think if that is clear, then you will see how the actions, everything will align. You know, this quote that when the intent is right, the universe aligns to make things happen. That will happen. But just know and just be true to that purpose. I would just say, and you know, the one thing that I say, what's on LinkedIn, what's on resume is all great. But there are things which are not on LinkedIn, which is the real you, right? So just make sure it's aligned with what's your kick. Your purpose
and your own value system.
Yes.
Wonderful. So my last question to you, and this is on failure. I've often said that Indians or maybe South Asians or people from Asia don't teach children that it's okay to fail. And that manifests itself in our behavior on roads, flight lands in India. Everyone wants to be out first, etc., etc. And yet we all fail.
Yeah.
Right? So my question to you, Tamanna, is that what have been some of your learnings from maybe some mistakes or failures?
So I have a son who's now going to be 6 in 2 weeks, right? And he's not, so he's, you know, very good with whatever things he does. I feel intellectually maybe he's good. I just feel he's smart. But he's not extremely, like, he's a little small like me, because the doctor calls me small, right? So he may not run the fastest, for example, right? And I tell him that it's okay. It's fine. We are always competing against ourselves. And I'll specifically talk about one failure, which is not traditional, like a startup failure. But I stood last in a race in school once. I never ran again. Never. So when I say never, it means that, you know, once we went to a tiger farm in Bangkok and there was a bull who got after. I know this is hilarious. Me and my husband were there. My husband ran in one direction. I think I would have not survived. I'm thinking while trying to run that what will happen if I get hit and killed by the bull. People will laugh. She went to see the tigers and this is what happened. I couldn't run. So just because two things. One is I felt I will never be able to run fast. Or work hard to get to that speed. Second is I thought I look so funny when I run because I run so slow. Last year at that FCLP program, one of the community, which is from Germany, it's called This Mum Runs. The founder, she just spoke to me. She said, we're looking for 30 people and we want to enroll them in a running program. And I started running last year. I can now run up to 30 minutes. Not with anyone, not posted any for my own. It's a huge thing and I tell it to everyone. I feel so good, right? So I just feel, you know, failure, how do you define failure? I mean, is not raising funds a failure? I don't think so, because it teaches you to sell better. People looking down upon you, is that failure, right? People saying that, what are you doing? Like, are you this? Are you a Facebook group? Are you like, you know, how are you monetizing? Whatever. So it's failure is all in your mind, but it is a stepping stone to success, because it teaches you how to circumvent that situation and problem solve better.
That's really well said. Very, very well said. So Tamanna, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
I wish you lots and lots of success, and talking to you has been an incredible learning for me.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.